Yo, what's up, everyone? Basketball Nation, this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. This is Eddie Aparicio, I'm your host, and this is Anthony Tuan Corral, my co-host. This is our 36th episode, and we are live. And we are live because we want to hear from you. We have been talking about upcoming trades that are happening, and as you probably know, there's 12 trades and counting that have already happened. That's probably where we're going to spend most of our time on the show today, is on the trades that have taken place, with an emphasis on the higher profile players, and then the ancillary players will probably do that towards the end. But, you know, our intent is to go about an hour each show. Sometimes we go over, most of the times we go over, and sometimes we go under, but that is our intent. And, you know, you can find us at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as any podcast outlet that you can think of, such as Facebook, X, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, you name it. Just call out Gremlings Media and you go ahead and find us. So let's go ahead and get started, Tuan. You know, the trade deadline is tomorrow at 12 p.m. Pacific. Yes. There has been a flurry of activity, and it all essentially kind of started when I got a text from you at 9:15, bro, or 9:18 p.m. on Saturday night. I was watching a movie with my wife, right? And then all of a sudden, I wasn't paying attention, and she kept looking over at me, right? And I'm like, sorry, babe. My phone's blowing up, man, you know, because all my hoophead buddies were kind of texting me, and all my other friends, they're all like, hey, did you hear about this? And, dude, it was funny because when you first texted me, I didn't see it, man. I was looking online, and there was nothing reported. And it's like, how did Juan know about this before?
Yeah, bro. My insiders were telling me.
So, and you know what's funny is I started kind of looking. I finally found it. And I saw a bunch of people on Twitter just saying, oh, man, Shams, you know, phone just got hacked because everybody didn't believe that this really happened, right?
Yep.
But what we're talking about here is probably considered one of the biggest trades in NBA history. You have a perennial all-star, perennial MVP candidate on an annual basis in going into his ninth year, and Luka Doncic, who just got traded from the Dallas Mavericks to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. He's about to start his ninth year, man. He's about to start his ninth year because he was eligible to beat a Supermax deal. And the Supermax deal is only players that have been drafted by the organization and have at least 8 years with the organization are eligible
for a Supermax contract.
Yeah, you know, I do too, because a few podcasts ago, we were like, oh, maybe 6 years, man. I'm telling you, the older we get, time flies a lot faster.
Yeah. Right?
So he was eligible for Supermax deal. But what I wanted to finish up is that the Dallas Mavericks went ahead and dealt him to the Los Angeles Lakers in exchange for Anthony Davis and Max Christie. I mean, there's some other players that were also involved in that trade. You have Maxi Kleber and Markieff Morris from Dallas to go with Luka Doncic. And then along with Max Christie was the 2029 first-round pick. But, man, let me tell you, man, it's just shockwaves throughout the NBA world because nobody knew about this, man. It was, like, kind of, like, very secretive. And just kind of researching about this, this was done kind of like in a vacuum between Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka because these guys go way back. They know each other from a long time ago in the Nike days, and they both – you know, kind of work closely with Kobe Bryant. They were trying to recruit LeBron and all that. And they developed and formed a friendship. And it's
so interesting little side story, Eddie, that you may or may not know. Nico Harrison was the one who ran the presentation that insulted Steph Curry, which caused Steph Curry to go to Under Armour.
No way. I did not know that.
Yes. Nico Harrison put together, or was it part of the team that put together that presentation? In that presentation, they had some slides that were aimed at Kevin Durant, which then led Curry to believe that this was just them kind of repurposing a slide deck. Del Curry was in that meeting, and Del Curry, after the meeting, he turned to Steph and he goes, Steph, you do what you got to do. If you need something new, go to something new. And then that caused them to go talk to Under Armour. So I'm saying that because to me, that creates a little bit of background on the fact that I don't know how – I don't want to say bright. Obviously, he's a smart guy. I'm not trying to insult him. I don't know how
politically savvy, business savvy.
Yes, business savvy. I don't know. And I have so many problems with the way this went down that, you know, like this is borderline collusion, right? I mean, you're not even offering or taking up any other conversations with any other teams in the league.
Right.
25-year-old, like you said, you know, multi-time All-Pro, took his team, or All-NBA, took his team to the finals the previous year, and nobody else gets to put in a bid?
Yeah. I mean, and all the, you know, NBA executives are just going, you know, WTF, what the heck, yeah. Right? I mean, if he had opened up, you know, that Luka Doncic was on the table, oh, my God, there would have been a line of GMs trying to figure out, and they would have offered him a lot more than what he got because, you know, he got in exchange a 32-year-old, you know, all-NBA future Hall of Famer in Anthony Davis, for sure, right? I mean, he is, but he is frail as it gets, man. The guy has, I don't think he's ever played a full NBA season.
Hurt all the time, yep.
Hurt all the time. But, you know, according to, you know, the research, Nicole Harrison, you know, he said that, hey, look, I already know what Jason Kidd wants, right? I went ahead and just kind of did this deal, kind of with our previous conversations, already knowing what he wanted. I just went for going after somebody who would enhance our defense because that's where we need most of our help. We want to become more of a defensive-minded team, and Anthony Davis can bring that to us and also leadership in the locker room because I guess from what I've learned, I never knew this, that Anthony Davis was a very outspoken guy, and he doesn't seem that way at all when he's playing, right? But he's apparently that type of guy, but that was when I first heard of this trade, bro. I even said it to you. I sent you a text back. Man, this is a dumb trade, man. Primarily because of the fit on both times.
There's so many mixed feelings. So yes, right off the bat, if you look at the team today, this is a horrible trade for the Lakers. Horrible. Number one, because
to me,
and this has been discussed all on the web. But the first thing I said when I heard it, I'm like, dude, LeBron and Luka are like the same guy. They like do the same exact thing. They run point from the forward position. They need the ball in their hands all the time. I'm like, and not only that, you're giving up your best defensive. You got no low post players now in LA. So clearly this decision was not made for this year.
No, but it's a long-term thing. They're trying to replace LeBron James once he retires with somebody who could become the next – name, marketable guy, you know, that's, I mean, and the Lakers have done this multiple times in the past, right? They're not the first, they're known for doing this. Will Chamberlain, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But here it is, Eddie. Now you're touching on something that really frustrates me. And, you know, us being Warrior fans, we're not huge Laker fans, but I want to separate my hatred for the Lakers versus reality. How come the Lakers always get these opportunities? Like, they got Kobe for nothing. They got Kareem for nothing. They got Worthy in some sort of weird kind of first-round pick mumbo-jumbo. It just seems like things always fall in their lap. And I don't understand that. Like, how does that happen?
Well, you know,
time and time again.
Let's face it, though, bro. I mean, they are the second highest-winning franchise in the NBA. Probably the highest. I would say the Warriors are probably the higher valued team right now, but like long-term history, the Lakers have a lot more cachet than anybody else just because of, you know, their past, right? The Celtics are the only ones who have eclipsed them on championships with 18, but they're in a bigger market, right? The Lakers are in Los Angeles, man. Los Angeles is a big market just like New York, right?
So are you suggesting that these things are somehow planned?
I don't know if they're planned. I would say that there is that players know that if they want to have a bigger presence within the NBA and be marketable, and especially if they're already
want to go there. I agree with you for players that choose to go there.
Yes.
Okay. The players I just mentioned
didn't choose. They didn't choose
to go there. They were given these gifts.
Yeah, that's
the
correct.
Part that I don't understand. I hear
you.
Right?
I hear you.
Yeah.
But let's put it this way. Luka is definitely peeved. That's probably a very not strong word. He's pissed. He essentially lost $116 million because of this deal, because he is no longer eligible for a Supermax contract now that he got dealt, right?
Correct.
And now hearing why he was dealt, because of, you know, the weight issues. You know, this guy comes in at 255, going up to 275 throughout the season, and yet he's still kind of considered one of these all-time players in the NBA. You know, and people worried about his conditioning. but the guy was still playing at an elite level. And the other thing is, I think a lot of the management also had said that they were getting kind of tired of his antics, always freaking, you know, complaining to the refs almost on every play. And, you know, it's, and then there's also the story about Michael Finley taking away his beer, right, in the locker room, right? It's like, whoa, it's like, okay, so that you can tell he's peeved. He's peeved about
that. So, you take me to point number two, okay? Yeah. Point number two, his antics, okay, I get that. But we're in the NBA. Look at Jimmy Butler's antics. Look at Draymond Green's antics. I mean, every locker room has a guy that does antics, right?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So that aside, what is your concern, right? Your concern is that he's not in shape and that he'll get injured. So then you make a humongous trade for a player who's injured all the time?
Right, I know. I hear you.
What?
But it came down to money, man. It really came down to money. He's saving the franchise. Nico Harrison is saving the franchise $116 million over the next 5 years. And he's trying to change the culture, according to him, from what Jason Kidd wants. Although Jason Kidd didn't even know about this freaking trade going on because nobody did, right? So he's thinking he's abiding by what the vision of the team is based on what he has been talking about with others, you know, in the organization. And he did this totally unilaterally. Now, you can believe, there's a possibility that may not be the case. The ownership probably had a say in this for sure, because he can't just do this unilaterally. I'm sure ownership did this, you know, this okay, this thing that Nico Harrison said, I have this deal. I don't want to open it up because we're going to get leveraged, right? It could get, you know, canceled by the commissioner. Like, you know, back in the day when David Stern did that a few times, right? We don't want to do that. We just want to go ahead and make this thing happen because we know what we want. And let's go ahead and just do it. And then he said, go ahead, do it. But it's on you if it fails, right? I'm sure he got that, you know, it's on you if it fails, because this is a big deal. And you can see the outcry in Dallas, man. There is a lot of people just pissed off about this, man.
I mean, I heard a little something. I don't know if you saw it, but, you know, the owner, the majority owner now, it's no longer
Mark Cuban
anymore. He's a minority owner. He said he didn't even know about all this. But the majority owner is the guy that helped Al Davis's kid, Mark Davis, get the Raiders into Las Vegas. Right, he's got a very strong Las Vegas presence. There's rumors going around that they did this to piss off the fan base. And I read an article the other day about them acknowledging refunds for season ticket holders and things like that. Like, if you're this unhappy about, I think it's possible. And again, I don't want to like kick up a dust storm here, but I think if he can piss off his fan base enough, he can get up and move to Las Vegas.
Interesting. Interesting. So this is kind of like a chess play.
Yeah, it's like Major League. For those of you that are old enough to remember that movie, let's suck enough, you know, so we can get up and go somewhere else. And so again, I don't know the validity to this, but these are things that I've read, because I'm looking at all of this and I'm going, this is just weird. It's just
it is.
And then on top of that, you know, Anthony Davis is a fantastic player. We've talked about his skill set, but he is 31. You know, part of one of the most valuable attributes is availability, which he lacks severely, right?
Both of them do, and honestly.
You could have gotten so much more than what you got. I mean, Miles Bridges got five number one picks, dude.
Mikal Bridges, sorry.
Bridges for the Knicks. And Luka gets one?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
it's like,
come on.
You know, the Mavericks got fleeced. They got fleeced, man. They just totally did, because they could have got way more draft picks to set themselves up for the future, for sure, right? So let me
ask you this, Eddie. If for whatever reason the Mavs win the NBA championship this year, do you still think they got fleeced?
Long term, yes.
I agree. I agree. No matter what happens, they got fleeced.
For sure.
Because the value of Luka was much greater than what they got in return.
Oh, by far.
Regardless of the outcome.
And you know what's going to be interesting? The aftermath of this. Not, you've already kind of pointed to what the possibility means for the Mavericks if they win the championship. Let's see what happens with Luka when he comes back. I mean, he's got probably the best trainer he could ever have in the NBA in LeBron James, right?
I agree. And
this guy, you know, definitely has an example of somebody who has a long career, man. Right, he's going into his 22nd year or something like that, and he's still playing like at an elite level, man. Mm-hmm. Right, so mm-hmm. you know, he could definitely learn a lot from LeBron. I mean, you got to say, man, I got to say this, man. I, you know, you and I, as Warrior fans, we hate LeBron, man.
Yep.
Damn, I respect the guy so much. I respect that dude. I respect him as a player big time, right? And just how he has, you know, been able to do what he does at such an elite level for so long, bro, and has
changed his game. And I'll be honest, you know, I'm the thing that, you know, I think about this from time to time. I don't like, it doesn't keep me up at night or anything. But, you know, if I could articulate what bothers me most about LeBron, when I think of athletes that I love,
yep.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there.
I'm coming to you, Peckerhead.
Oh, we're getting there. Trust me, we are getting there. when I think of athletes that I love, Ronnie Lott, you know, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Steph Curry, I think of guys that give their whole heart to the game.
Yeah.
And the thing that bugs me about LeBron is he's so calculated. Everything it seems like, he puts no heart into it. It's all like pieces, you know, like put this here, put this there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, get rid of him, which is another story, which is, let me ask you this, Eddie, do you believe for a second that LeBron didn't know this was coming?
No, he knew.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he knew probably within an hour of it happening. That's what I would say. And it's
long enough for him to say no or to stop it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, bottom line is that Luka has got a tremendous person to help him, accept, you know, with his conditioning, because, you know, let's face it, if that guy was kind of like LeBron's, you know, as far as like his body and his conditioning, dude, can you imagine what kind of a beast of a player that guy would be?
Well, I will tell you one thing, Eddie.
Yeah.
There's not many, but it has happened where a player's better when they're a little overweight. When they get right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Luka's that guy. I don't know. But, you know, I've seen players that play better when they got a little bit of fat on. You know, they just they feel more comfortable. They're just more in their own rhythm. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. Luka, first things first, Luka's got to change the story about the fact that he doesn't care about his condition.
Correct. Correct.
If this with LeBron doesn't work, then the Mavericks made the right choice.
I agree with you, bro.
If he comes in next season overweight, then the Mavericks at least made the right choice. Now, whether or not that weight impacts his play, that's a whole other conversation. But
yeah, I hear you.
They were scared to give him $380 million. They didn't want to do it without any assurances that he was going to be the kind of leader that they needed him to be.
No, I hear you, man. And just before we got into this topic, what I wanted to kind of bring up is that, you know, you brought up overweight guys that, you know, once they become a little bit more in shape, they're not as good. I can't really think of somebody off the top of my head, but I can tell you that the other guy in the NBA who isn't necessarily like the model of physicality or being a great physique is Nikola Jokic.
Yep,
Nikola Jokic is a frumpy looking guy who doesn't look like he's in shape, man, but he's arguably the best player in the NBA, right? I mean, that goes to show you, man. It says, Luka is going to be too busy making commercials to get into shape. Right on, Will. Hey, thanks for listening, man. Appreciate the support, man.
We will see. I'm really going to be interested in how Luka handles all this. But when it's all said and done, as out of shape as he may or may not have been, he took his team to the NBA Finals the year before.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So right now, they have no reason to believe that weight impacts his play. It impacts how long he can play.
It impacts the amount of games that he can play, right? Correct. I mean, LeBron is like, he hasn't played a full season himself either, but that's a lot of it because it's load management, right? But he's been playing for 22 years, man, right? Yep. And that guy is like a model of consistency with respect to conditioning. At 42 years old, he's incredible, man, right? So, okay, let me change topics. Going to the Mavericks side, okay?
Okay.
When you first told me about this trade, I said this is a dumb trade. We already talked about why it's a dumb trade for the Lakers, because both Luka and LeBron are very similar style players, right? They're both bigger point guard type guys who, you know, can, you know, kind of more ball dominant in general. Although LeBron is a very good passer, and so is Luka. but, you know, they're kind of really good pick and roll players too. They're very similar, right? Now, you know, LA Lakers, when you first told me about this trade, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Now the Lakers don't have any bigs. Now they're on the market for trying to get a big now because they just completely don't have anybody, right? They have a bunch of like unknown guys, Trey Jameson and freaking whoever else. These guys are unproven. Then you go to the Mavericks side, Anthony Davis, right? Anthony Davis, yes, elite defender, elite two-way player when he's healthy, right? But then you got, yes, PJ Washington, you got Derek Lively, you got Daniel, yes, Gafford. There's a repetition, yep, right there. Now it's telling me right after
Christie,
that trade. I'm
like, you got Christie in that trade, who is a Christie good, who's the, a, yeah, developing DN3 guy.
Yeah, but he's like, well, he's a guard type. But what I was trying to say is, my point is that they have a duplication, like a bunch of people that have duplicate roles, you know? They have like four bigs now, right? That are, yes, all kind of really, really good. I mean, I would argue that PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, that trade last year is what put Dallas over the top, right?
I agree.
And they're still really good because of that. Now, I think they're maybe Nico Harrison's like, oh man, we made that trade with PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. Man, that made us a lot better team. Let's go out and get another guy. Let's get Anthony Davis. Yeah, but then now you got a bunch of, you know, big guys, and you have, you know, only Kyrie Irving, who's hella old, to be like the guard of that team. And, you know, he's a great player, but you need more balance. That's why I said it's a dumb trade when I first heard about this trade, man. It was dumb. Yeah. That's it, man. So,
yeah. Well, the one thing that I would say in terms of the bigs, and I'm sure you've heard this, is, you know, apparently Anthony Davis has been clamoring for some time that his natural position is a four, not a five. And right, for the Lakers, all he's played is a five. Well, yeah, if that's true, he's a four now because,
yeah,
Dallas has two fives, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep,
for me, like, if I took away the magnitude of Luka, right,
right,
his age, the amount of – I don't think it's such a bad trade for the Mavericks today. Today, right?
Today.
Today, yeah, correct. But what it's going to, yeah, be in 2 or 3 years, that's a whole different conversation.
We shall see, man.
I will tell you this. It would not shock me if the Mavericks won the finals. I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma City. I don't think they're better than that squad.
No.
But it wouldn't shock me if they won.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. It remains to be seen, man.
Yeah.
So let's dovetail to the next trade, right? Because, you know, our Dubs just made a trade minutes before we just started this podcast for a player that we both had talked about wouldn't be a good fit for the Warriors,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And for multiple reasons. Well, you know, I want to go ahead and shout out to Peckerhead, Atlanta Raider, man. Dudes, what the heck or what the F, right? Why do we panic with Jimmy Buckets or Suckets? I like that. I like that. Jimmy, yeah, Suckets. All right. So, you know, we talked about this last a couple of podcasts ago, is that, you know, the Warriors right now, because of their fast start at 12-3, and then now they've completely been like a 500 team, like 10 games under 500 since then, right? That it became apparent that the Steph Curry is not able to be a true number one for a team anymore. He just doesn't have the endurance. He's nearly 30. He's going to be 37 years old next month, right? And defense has figured it out. They're like, we can shut down, you know, Curry, and these guys don't really have any other shot. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, you know, he got dealt, right, with this trade. I mean, just to go ahead and report this, the trade that just happened was that Jimmy Butler signed with the Warriors. He actually just did a 2-year extension for $121 million. But in the deal, the Warriors sent back Andrew Wiggins and Dennis Schroeder and Kyle Anderson. And it turns out that there's other teams involved because Schroeder just went to the Utah Jazz,
yep,
and then Kyle Anderson went to the Raptors, all right? So this is a complicated deal that went down.
PJ Tucker went to Miami. Jazz went back to Miami.
Right, right. So, yeah. And then, so yeah, so, but I just wanted to kind of give the specifics as to the deal that just happened, right? But, you know, the Warriors are, they're coming across a little panicked, as Peckerhead said, a little desperate because,
desperate.
You know, and the thing is that because, you know, they were going after Paul George, didn't happen. They went after Lauri Markkanen, it didn't happen, right? Then they were trying to go after Jimmy Butler. And then Jimmy Butler says, I wouldn't resign with the Warriors. I mean, there's posturing left and right here all over the place. Because then you hear a few weeks ago, you know, Curry and Kerr, they were all kind of expressing concern about Butler being a good fit in the locker room. And that was the primary reason why I thought he wouldn't be a good fit, is because you already have, you know, a very assertive, strong personality in Draymond Green. And then you're bringing in somebody else who's very similar to him. And one of these guys, they're both like wolves, man. They're going to want to establish, you know, essentially, you know, mark their territory, right? And Draymond Green is going to definitely mark his territory. It's like, man, you're the guy, man. We know you're Jimmy Buckets, man, but This is the Warriors way. This is our culture. You got to fit in with us. And Jimmy Butler, when you hear something like that, he's like, screw you, man. I'm a better player than you. I'm worth 50, 60 something million dollars and you're worth 25. Come on, man. I'm not going to take any of your crap. That easily could happen, man. And
yeah, let's see Draymond punch Jimmy buckets. See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a big, yeah. And then who's going to stop it, right? Right? So that's my concern. And the Warriors, in my opinion, made a panic move, man. A panic move. And I did not like this move at all.
I agree.
I hate it, man.
And so here's a couple of things, right, to add.
Green
win in three rounds. Yeah, we'll see. He's got to buy, like, you know, 50, 60 pounds maybe. But anyway.
Yeah, he does.
One of the ramifications of this decision, and again, Eddie, you and I have had many talks about Jonathan Kuminga. Yep. You know, you're more on the positive. I'm more on the pessimist look.
Yep.
But the thing is, what does this re-signing of mean for Kuminga? Because now, next year, you're going to have Curry and Butler that are $60 million apiece.
Yep.
Right? That's $120 million in two dudes.
And then Draymond Green's 25.
And then Draymond Green. Right? Yep. And then everybody else you got to fill in. So what are they going to do with Kuminga?
Good question. You know, it really depends on what they do this year. If Joe Lacob likes the progress of this new team, assuming that they're done, I don't think they're done. I think there's another day for them to potentially pick somebody else up. And the guy that I have been touting for a while is Nikola Vucevic. I really want that guy on the Warriors because I think he's a really good fit. He's a 34-year-old guy too. So, you know, you're talking about Team Geritol here, bro. All right?
Yeah. There's
a bunch of older guys trying to win it again, right?
Yeah.
Right. So if they get, like, you know, another player and Joe Lacob likes the progress that this team is going towards, and they, let's say, get to the conference finals, which is a total leap. But let's just say, you know, stranger things have happened, right? But let's just say they get there. I don't think Lakers would be opposed to going to luxury tax again to try and do it again. So that's why they would probably resign, you know, assuming Kuminga comes back like he was, right? So that would be my call. What do you think?
Yeah, this is such, you know, and then the other thing, right? So Butler bypassed next year's contract.
Maybe Kuminga now goes to Chicago.
Oh, boy. Oh, for Vucevic?
It would probably work because Vucevic is a $21 million player, and Kuminga wants to resign for about a $30 million deal, right, next year.
So first of all, Eddie, Kuminga's not getting $30
million. No, I know. I'm just saying that's what he wants, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of reasons that's probably not going to happen. And again, things change. But next year, the only teams that can afford that are the Nets and the Wizards, I believe. So they're the only two squads that are remember, once you're over the first apron, you can't sign for more than what
the mid-level exception is, I think it is.
No. Yeah, the mid-level exception last year was what, 15?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's way below 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
So my guess is Kuminga would be lucky, given the lay of the land today, Kuminga would be lucky to get 20.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is that, you know, who knows? I don't know. Did the Warriors, I mean, do teams like, I know that the other leagues like the MLB and NFL, they can restructure contracts, right? I don't know if the NBA does that, but maybe something like that would have to go down. But I don't know if the NBA does restructuring. I don't think they do, but the major leagues do it. Major League Baseball does it. NFL does it. Yeah. I don't think the NBA does it. So if they can't do that, then yeah, that means that they're kind of essentially putting Kuminga in a cubbyhole and essentially saying, this is what we think you're worth, man. This is all we can pay you, man, if you want to stay.
Yep. And mark my words, Eddie, next year, right around the All-Star break, when Jimmy Butler starts complaining that he wants another extension and that he refuses to play, and we're fine, I don't want to hear any crying from anybody on the Warriors. I don't want to hear it, man.
You know, I hear you, man.
That's like you hooking up with someone that cheated on their husband, and then you marry them, and then when they cheat on you, and you got no room to complain, bro.
Exactly, man.
What's that?
That's it, exactly. Yeah. It's a great analogy, man. Yeah. You're right.
I don't even want to hear it, man.
I hate this deal, man.
Oh, so do I. I hate it.
I hope I'm proven wrong, man. I hate this deal. And I know, like, the guys that are, you know, the guys that are chiming in are, you know, it's, you know, Matt Correll and Will McGee, buddies that you know, right, from back in high school. you know, we're on a tech stream and there's other guys, you know, Pete, he was saying, oh man, I love this deal. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate this deal. Right. I mean, the majority of people that I know that like hoops and like the Warriors, they hate this deal, man. Hate it. It's anyway, I'm just extremely frustrated. The only thing that will salvage it is getting Nikola Vucevic, man. And then I feel not as bad.
Correct. Right? And the other thing too is, you know, there is the possibility that Butler and Draymond make each other even worse than they already are. Like, just they're egging each other on, you know, and not necessarily against
each
other.
It's coming. I'm calling it. Within a month, there's going to be a tussle within a month.
The same crap. Yep. You know what I mean? And there's going to – poor Steph. Steph's going to be like, dude. And, you know, that's one thing I wanted to mention. You know, you mentioned earlier –
I also hate this deal, Lewis. Yep. Right on, Lewis. I agree.
A horrible, horrible deal. So, Steph, a week ago or two, made the comment, you know, Jimmy Butler's not a good fit for us.
Yeah, right? Steve Kerr did too.
So you mentioned that. I had mentioned this right before we got on the call. I said, Eddie, what happens if them getting Butler forces Curry to say, I don't want to be here anymore?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's possible. No, it's possible. You're right. That's a possibility, especially if Curry, assuming that he wasn't posturing, right? That this was a posture to get the deal done, because we know Miami Heat and Pat Riley, they posture left and right in their sleep, bro. Right. Yeah. I mean, just today it was being reported that, if we can't make a deal done, we don't have to do it. We're good. Right. I'm like, yeah, right. You want that cancer still on your team, man, creating all these problems? Yeah. Right. Right. But what's interesting, bro, you're right. If Curry is not, if he's not posturing and he's being real, that he's being very sincere, that he thought that this would be a chemistry issue, and let's say he's proved right, you're right. He'd probably say, screw this, man. I want to win a championship. Eddie, I might want to go elsewhere, right?
Eddie, look at Curry's track record, okay, just for a minute.
Yeah.
When do you recall him ever saying anything negative about another player?
Never.
So that's what leads me to believe he was not – what's his goal in posturing? See, and here's another.
Unless the Warriors brass wanted him, because, you know, he's a very influential spokesperson for the team, right? And if he says something like that, oh, man, people are going to listen because he's not like that. It could be a posture.
Here's the other thing, too, which I think plays, I don't know how big a role, but I think it plays a role.
Yeah.
What's happening in about a week and a half?
The All-Star game.
Where is it?
In San Francisco.
And what does Lakeham not want? Do you remember when they retired Mully's number?
Yes. And Rick Barry was like, come on, people. He was trying to simmer down the crowd.
They had just making traded it worse. Monte yep. Ellis, right? Yep. They had just traded Monte Ellis for Bogut.
Yep.
And the fans were going nuts.
They were going nuts, man.
Yeah. Do you remember many, many years ago when Chris Cohan walked on the floor during All-Star game? And all the Warriors fans were booing him.
Yes, this is Vince Carter dunking contest.
Correct. And all yes. Chris Cohan got up and everyone booed the crap out of him.
Yep.
You think this move wasn't influenced by the fact that Lakeham doesn't want to look bad in national TV during the All-Star? Because if anything, now the fans can't really boo because, well, you did something. Now, if you did nothing, they probably would have lost their shit.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I agree with you, but you're right, man. It's a good call. We'll see, man. But anyway, man, we got other trades to cover, man. I mean, yeah. I don't know what are the parting shots you want to say about this, but we both agree that we hate this freaking deal. And it looks like the guys that have chimed in, they all don't like it either, right? We're with you on this call. We shall see what happens. We might have to eat our words, man, if they do really well and this, you know, happens. You know, to work out, which we don't think it will. You know, I'll be happy because I'm a Warrior fan. If this works out, crap, I'll eat my words. I was wrong, whatever, man. But I know team chemistry, and this guy is going to create a problem, especially with somebody like a Draymond Green already in the locker room.
So correct.
That's the goal.
Correct. All right, and what's Kuminga? Someone like Kuminga, and you know, TJD and Quentin Post. What are they going to learn from those two guys? How to be angry, yell, and complain.
Yeah. How to do a good left hook and do right cross or whatever, vice versa for the lefties, correct. Right? I don't know, but But anyway, so let's talk about the other deal that went down, man. Another big high-profile deal that went down is De'Aaron Fox. Got dealt to the Spurs in exchange for Zach LaVine, along with Sidy Cissoko, all right, and three first-round picks in 2025, 2027, and 2031, and 3 second-round picks in 2025 and 2 in 28. Big deal, okay? Now, this move, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, De'Aaron Fox paired with Victor Wembanyama is a problem. We all know, like, Victor Wembanyama is easily going to be, if he stays healthy, we talked about this in past podcasts, we think he's going to be in the conversation at the end of his career as being one of the all-time best. I mean, this is the trajectory. He's tracking.
Yep, I agree.
And he's going to easily become the defensive player of the year this year. And, you know, if this team starts going up the ranks, which now with De'Aaron Fox, and they were already going up the ranks with Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes on the team and with a bunch of scrubs, right? Now you have a legitimate all-star player who can break defenses down just with his speed alone. He's done it against us multiple times, right? And now he's paired with this transcendent player. Man, the Spurs are going to be a problem, and they're going to climb up the ranks, man.
I love this trade for the Spurs. This is a
for sure.
Between Boncastle, Wemby, and De'Aaron Fox, they have three of the five pieces. I mean, that's a good – and Chris Paul, you know, kind of
– coming off the bench now. He's coming off the bench.
I mean, this is a fantastic move. For the Spurs, they couldn't have, and you know, Pop strikes again, or whatever the Spurs do, you know, they always seem to figure out how to position themselves. You know, speaking of conspiracy theories, you know, how do you get David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and Victor Wembanyama? I got issues with that, but hey,
arguably three of the best big men potentially of all time, potentially with being the last one, Victor Wembanyama. He doesn't get drastically hurt, right? So. He's on the trajectory of being in that conversation along with Tim Duncan and David Robinson, both, you know, all-time Spurs and both, you know, Hall of Fame players. So, but I really like it. Now, as far as on the other side, Zach LaVine. Now, he was rumored as another player that could go to the Warriors, right?
Correct.
And I didn't like that one either, because I know that Zach LaVine's game is very offensive-oriented, you know, and the Warriors are more of a team, a defensive team-oriented team. Although offenses where they really struggling because they only have one guy who can really create a problem for the defense in Steph Curry, and an aging Steph Curry. So they needed somebody else to be kind of like that offensive force that they were hoping Jonathan Kuminga or Andrew Wiggins would become. Andrew Wiggins started becoming that because of that necessity, right? He had to. He was playing very well. And then, you know, Jonathan Kuminga was that guy and he was descending until he got hurt. But, you know, Zach LaVine definitely is one of these electric, offensive, uber athletic players. And I think this is a good move for the Kings because it makes the Kings, you know, they lost an offensive force in De'Aaron Fox. And now they have somebody who can, you know, not necessarily do exactly what De'Aaron Fox does, but can score at the same level as De'Aaron Fox, but just can't distribute as well as De'Aaron Fox, nor play as good a defense as De'Aaron Fox can, even though De'Aaron Fox is a smaller player. So what are your takeaway and thoughts on that trade from the Kings standpoint?
Yeah, so the reason, you know, bringing this back to the Warriors, the reason I didn't mind LaVine as much as I would someone like Butler is I didn't think LaVine would cost us that much in terms of players. I thought that we could assemble a bunch of, you know, Buddy Hield and a bunch of kind of low-level players to just get him, get him onto the team.
Which is $43 million.
And again, I don't mean to rewind, but one of the reasons also that I hate this Jimmy Butler deal is because we lost Wiggins. Wiggins is half. He is now half the cost of what Jimmy Butler's. Now Jimmy Butler is better than Wiggins, but he's not twice as good as Wiggins.
Correct. I agree with you. And we pointed this out last podcast. Is that we argued that Wiggins and Butler are very similar players.
Correct.
The only difference, really, being other than age, is that one tends to disappear at times, right? And maybe not have the strong mentals, as you just pointed out with, you know, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is a very strong person, and he doesn't disappear. The only time he disappears is when he gets injured, man, right? And he gets injured quite a bit because he's an older guy. As you know, as we already talked about last week, the older we get, the more injury prone we get. It's just the way it is, man. It's just the way it is. So, you know, we shall see what happens here, man. But,
getting back to the question, you know, I thought the Kings could have got a little bit more from De'Aaron Fox. Unfortunately, everyone knew. And that takes us back to the Luka situation, right? When everyone knows that you want to get rid of somebody or somebody's not going to re-sign or whatever the deal is, that lowers your value and your leverage. which may be a reason why the Mavericks did what they did. But, you know, they got one pick. They got Zach LaVine. Who else did they get? I was just trying to look here.
Oh, the city. Okay, so the Zach LaVine and City Sissoko. He's the guy that the Kings got, but then they just went ahead and changed. So the Kings also just did another trade earlier today as well, is that the newly acquired City Sissoko is now going to the Washington Wizards in exchange for Jonas Valanciunas. But they also sent out 2 second-round picks for Jonas Valanciunas as well. All right, so
they got you. But in that original one, it looks like the Kings got 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks, 2 of which they sent to the Wizards
For Valanciunas.
Got it. Okay. Correct. No, in that case, it's not too bad. I mean, 3 first-rounds, you get LaVine. I mean, that's pretty good. I think from the Kings' perspective, they did about as good as they could have with a guy that wasn't going to resign with them.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man.
But overall, you know, who's going to run their point? I don't know how good the Kings are as a squad going forward.
Yeah. We'll see. We shall see. I mean, we'll see the impact that this has, you know, with the team long term. I mean, losing a De'Aaron Fox is going to create a problem, right? For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's go to the next trade. The next one, and you know, this is probably the last one of the big ones that we know of right now. And there's probably other ones that are happening as this podcast is going that we haven't heard of yet. I don't know if you saw anything that's popped up since.
I keep checking. Yeah.
So, but the other trade that went down is that Chris Smith of the Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, and the Washington Wizards made a deal, and now the Kyle Kuzma was being sent to the Bucks, and in exchange, Chris Middleton was leaving the Bucks to go to the Wizards, along with the guy AJ Johnson. You remember him in the draft? He was the guy that the Bucks had selected when he was projected to be a second round pick. And they, you know, he was a 23rd pick, and we're like, what?
And everyone's like, why'd you take this guy? Yeah.
Why did you take this guy? Right. So, but now there's a deal that just went down that now, you know, it was a short-term stay for Kyle Kuzma to go to the Bucks, because now he's with the Raptors now. He just got dealt to the Raptors from the Bucks. I didn't see who they got. Yeah. That's another deal that just went down.
Okay. Didn't know that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, take that back. I was thinking about Kyle Anderson. Sorry about that. No, Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is staying with the Bucks. So,
right.
At least as far as I know, there could be moves going on as we're talking about this. So,
I don't hate that trade. I mean, Middleton kept getting hurt. I mean, obviously,
he's always hurt, man.
Yeah, he's part of their core, you know, of champions, you know, in terms of, you know, him and Drew Holiday obviously Giannis. So in terms of they got a little influx, you know, Kuzma can score. He's an offensive guy. I mean, I think that's a pretty good trade for Milwaukee. I don't know what the fans are feeling. You know, there may be some, you know, it's kind of like maybe us losing Looney or something like that. Like where, you know, we know he's not the best, but he's ours kind of deal. But overall, I don't mind the trade. I think it's okay.
All right. Yeah. It's all right. Yeah. It's not a big, it's not,
I mean, it's not going to change anything. It doesn't make them significantly better, you know,
right.
Other than, you know, but Middleton had his games where he was kind of the leading scorer. I think Kuzma will provide some of that maybe on a little bit more frequent basis than Middleton had in the past.
He's a younger kid who's not going to get as injured as often. And Middleton's at the twilight of his career, man. So,
So the thing that I would ask is, you know, what's the Wizards going to do with Middleton? Like, are they just going to flip him? Like right now, even before the deadline's over, because they don't want him.
Yeah. No, I know. I hear you, man. Yeah. So, all right. So let's go to the next trades, man. There's a bunch of ancillary players that got traded too, man. I mean, so the Mavs also sent out Quentin Grimes. They sent him to the Sixers in exchange. The Sixers sent back Caleb Martin to the Mavs, which I think is a pretty good move. Although Quentin Grimes was playing pretty good for the Mavs. Again, these are not big earth shattering moves. Caleb Martin was the guy who played on the Miami Heat. And, you know, I thought he was going to be a good fit for the Sixers, but the Sixers are a complete mess, man. This whole Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey experiment just went totally awry because of the injuries that Paul George and Joel Embiid had sustained. Now, Joel Embiid just came back last night and had a triple-double, right? So, he needs to stay on the court, man. Availability is a big deal for this team. But Caleb Martin was, you know, a guy that I thought would be a great fit for that team. And for whatever reason, it just didn't work. And now they're trying to just you know, make some other deals and make them better in different ways. So, so what? Any thoughts maybe, on that?
Maybe the Sixers can trade Embiid to the Lakers for the guy they just got.
Oh, Luka? For Luka? No, for Doncic. Luka, nah, dude. Luka Doncic, wait. I think he's more.
No, I know.
He's more transcendent.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just making a joke, a bad one. But like to me, I think that the Sixers really, you know, Paul George is, they had discussions that Paul George, you know, they might be looking to trade him or, you know, send him somewhere else. Embiid, I think, is also a guy that the Sixers see what kind of value they can get for him, although his value is probably at its lowest right now that it's been in his whole career. You know, I just, again, that, you know, they're hiring again. You know, just like the Warriors did, they're signing these older players. I just don't see the value. I mean, you look at the Cavaliers; they're all young. You look at the Celtics; they're all kind of in their prime. You look at the Thunder; they're all young. You look at Minnesota for the most part. You know, Julius Randle's out for a couple of weeks, but they're mostly young. You know, like these old dudes. I don't know, man. Like I don't know. I don't see it. You know, because there was a lot of speculation that Durant might go to the Warriors, and although. From a nostalgic perspective, I would have liked it, you know, just kind of bring as much of the gang back as you can. But realistically, from what they would have had to have given up, dude, it's not worth it. They're not winning.
Yeah.
They're not winning even with Durant.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we didn't even comment about that when we were talking about the Jimmy Butler deal with the Warriors, is that, you know, they were targeting Kevin Durant to come back, as you just mentioned. And what's interesting is that the deal was pretty much kind of in the works, and then all of a sudden, you know, Kevin Durant pretty much says he has no interest in coming back to the Warriors. And, you know, and my understanding is that Draymond Green would have been part of that deal to go to Phoenix in exchange of getting Kevin Durant back on the team. So that's issue of why he left would be gone, but yet he didn't want to come back, which tells me that there were other issues, you know, within the organization that turned Kevin Durant off. Right. So,
you know what's ironic, Eddie, is, I would have felt a lot better about this trade with Butler if they sent Draymond instead of Wiggins.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's interesting because they were talking about that on the radio shows just yesterday. They were, you know, having people call in as to, you know, because they're both very similar from a price tag standpoint. I think Wiggins is $28 million, Draymond is $25 million. And they were asking the callers, who would you want to give up, right? And it was pretty mixed for the most part because, you know, as good as Draymond is from a defensive standpoint, he's still a liability from an offensive standpoint outside of his passing abilities, right? Whereas Wiggins is, you know, about, what, 5-6 years younger than him. And the way he was starting to assert himself is kind of what the team needed more, honestly, than what Draymond brought, right? Because, you know, they have other guys that have developed into pretty good defensive players, but not the same level as Draymond, because Draymond is an elite defender. He is, especially from a team standpoint. But yeah, and what's interesting is that they polled the audience about that, and it was pretty mixed. But I would say that most of it was leaning towards Andrew Wiggins, that they wanted to keep Andrew Wiggins rather than keep Draymond Green in that deal if Kevin Durant was to come to the Warriors.
I would have felt better, number one, because you're getting rid of one alpha for another.
Yep.
Two, Jimmy Butler's a better offensive player than Draymond is. Yep. You know, and like number four or three, I don't know what I'm at, Wiggins is got a little longevity to him. I think he's got at least two to five years of pretty decent basketball in him, you know.
As long as he's mentally engaged, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing to think about is, you know, the last couple of years, his father was sick. You know, you can tell he's very kind of into his family. And, you know, his father passed away. So that was kind of clearing, you know. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's having his best year in like 2 or 3 years after his father passed away, because it's like he doesn't have to worry about that anymore, like, or whatever was stressing him out, you know. Not that he's not depressed about it, but, you know, he's kind of moving forward a little bit, and he was getting better as we go. And I just, to me, you know, and I'm not a huge Wiggins fan. I never really have been, but I think, you know, Draymond, for all the good, you know, for all the good that he's brought us a lot of bad, too.
It's been a large
price tag with Draymond Green.
And it's pretty evident that the organization, you know, they're a little worn out by him now, right? They're just kind of tired of him now. And that's probably why he was being talked about potentially being dealt, because, you know, his time with the Warriors was kind of drawing near to an end, especially because of his antics. Although he's gotten a lot better, he has not caused, you know, he's gotten technicals, but he's nowhere to the level that he was in the past, man. So, which is good. So we have a few more deals, and then I think we're gonna have a little bit of time to go over our quest for the best one-on-one player, and then we can go through that because we have like 10 minutes, but we can probably go about maybe another 15 minutes after to go ahead and finish that up. Let's go ahead and go into the next one. So we have Utah and the Clippers made a trade where the Clippers sent Mo Bamba, PJ Tucker, no longer with the Clippers. Now he's with the Miami Heat. And then a second round pick to Utah in exchange for Drew Eubanks and Patty Mills to the Clippers. All right. So that was a deal that was done. It's going to be, those are ancillary players. So these are not real big difference maker players, but we just wanted to call it out. Right. Any thoughts on that before we move on to the next one?
No, I mean, like I said, it's just some smaller players being.
Yeah. Small, oh,
no, yeah. No, nothing. I don't think it's anything worth, you know, okay, kind of digging into. Well, I'd rather talk about our greatest than one-on-ones.
Yeah, let's do that. So I'll just go through the last one. So the Suns and Hornets, and I think this is actually a pretty sneaky deal because the Hornets sent Nick Richards, right, to the Suns, and he guys been playing pretty well for the Suns, man. I mean, it's pretty interesting that, you know, Yusuf Nurkic is falling out of the rotation completely. He's not even playing anymore, and that guy could be dealt. I wouldn't mind taking him on the Warriors, honestly.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't.
Yeah, and he's probably on the cheap too. Why not, right? So yep. Nick Richards is playing, and then, you know, Mason Plumlee is the guy who's now kind of taking over the backup center spot, and now Yusuf Nurkic is kind of just sitting there twiddling his thumbs now. So it's interesting. So Nick Richards is got dealt from the Hornets to the Suns, and then the Suns sent Josh Okogie to the Hornets along with 3 second round picks. So so that's kind of what the deal was. The next one is the Celtics and Rockets. They went ahead and did a small deal for Jaden Springer, who's not really a player that plays that much. They sent Jaden Springer to the Rockets along with a second round pick and some in exchange for some draft considerations later from the Rockets, right? And then the last two that I'm going to comment on is KJ Martin from the Sixers was dealt to the Pistons and 2 second round picks to the Pistons in exchanging 2 second round protected draft picks. So it's more of a salary cap thing.
Yeah, it's more of a long
term thing. Accounting. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Accounting moves.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one that we'll comment is the Pelicans and Thunder. Daniel Tice was sent to the Thunder. You know, another big, right? I wonder if that tells you anything about Chet Holmgren's, you know, coming back or not, you know, because, you know, they had a Hartenstein, you know, they have the Jalen Williams, who's the backup center, and now they're bringing a veteran big and Daniel Tice to help that team from a big standpoint until Chet Holmgren comes back. So they gave him up for draft consideration. The Pelicans will give draft consideration back to the Thunder. So that's it, man. It's been
You mention Caleb Martin? The Caleb Martin?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. So that covered our trade deadline frenzy. There's probably going to be some more trades that are going to happen when this re-airs. Our podcast re-airs tomorrow. It's not live tomorrow. It'll be just reposted on YouTube and all the different, you know, Rumble, all these other platforms. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of trades that, you know, will make this somewhat passe. At least we'll miss a few trades that we didn't talk about today. But so, now we're going to go on to
one thing to note, Eddie. One thing to note, the Bulls just gave Lonzo Ball a 2-year, $20 million extension.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting.
Maybe he'll play this. Maybe he'll play in 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, so let's get to the thing that we started. You know, actually, this is our fifth week getting into this thing, right?
Yes.
We
are in
the fifth week of doing this quest to determine the best one-on-one player of all time, as well as the best divisional team of all time. We covered the Central Division last week of the Eastern Conference, and the team that we yielded are from the Cavs, LeBron James, from the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, from the Pacers, Reggie Miller, from the Pistons, Isaiah Thomas, and then from the Bulls, All-World Michael Jordan. And among this group, best one-on-one player, it came down between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. We both chose Michael Jordan, right? And by the way, I want to kind of shout out to a guy who's been listening to our show. He kind of chimed in on me as to, you know, why the argument that I picked as to why, you know, Michael would, you know, beat LeBron. And what he had chimed in, and I don't know if he's still listening, but what he had chimed in is like, you know, I'm disappointed in you, Ed, that, you know, the rules were different back in the day. Michael Jordan was in the 90s, and he was getting beat up left and right, and he could handle LeBron no problem because LeBron may be a big guy. That was your argument, that LeBron would be a big guy. But, you know, Jordan would be able to pick his pocket. But he was arguing that Michael Jordan would be able to just kind of rough him up as much as LeBron James could rough him back up. So that was a pretty good argument. I like that.
Yeah, so I do, before you get into the next group, I do want to bring something up. I think we need to do an edit. You and I in week one of this contest, you know, I had picked Dirk Nowitzki as the all-time greatest Maverick. You convinced me to go with Luka, which, by the way, I talked to my brother about, and he was losing his crap. He was like, what's wrong with Eddie? How can he pick Luka? Right? This was before the trade, right?
So yeah.
So, you know, given that Luka didn't finish his career with Dallas and hasn't done as much as Dirk did, I think we should kind of rotate that back to Dirk Nowitzki.
I agree. We'll go ahead and do that. And you know, by the way, once we finish the selections, you know, we're going to finish this. This is a episode number 36. Episode 37 next week, we're going to go ahead and finish this up with the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference. This week, we're doing the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. But once we finish that up, we're going to go ahead and edit any teams as we need to, right? You know, we weren't thinking about constructing the team when we started doing this. We just kind of picked the players and whatever came up, that's it, right? So we can go ahead and revise as we think, you know, we need before we start this kind of tournament of, you know, these five on fives and who we think is going to be the ultimate, you know, five on five team of all time as far as within a division. So, but anyway, so let's get back to, so this week we're going to go ahead and pick, we're going to pick to the, from the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. So we're going to go ahead and cover the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Utah Jazz. So those are the teams for this week, man. So, all right, Twan, so let's go ahead and start with you, man. Let's go ahead and start with the Oklahoma City Thunder, formerly known as the Seattle Supersonics.
All right.
Who were some of your candidates?
So there was a lot of names on my list here. So I went through a lot of names this week because, you know, I just a lot of reminiscing, a lot of thinking back, you know, starting with the old Seattle Supersonics, right? They had players like Rashard Lewis I had on this list.
Oh, wow. I didn't have him on there. Good call.
Yeah. Dale Ellis.
I didn't have him either. Okay.
Yes. Jack Sigma.
I had him.
List.
Hall of Famer.
Sean Kemp.
I had him too.
Yep. Papa Gary Payton, right? I had those guys. You know? Those were you know, he only spent 1 year there, but Kevin Durant was a Supersonic for one season.
Right.
His rookie season was Seattle's last season. So, you know, you can put Kevin Durant in there as a kind of a slash. And then from the Thunder days, you know, obviously the guy who's playing now, SGA, Shea Gildas-Alexander, a hell of a player. You know, I had Serge Ibaka on there. We had already put him under Houston, but I didn't want to forget, you know, James Harden's contributions. Obviously, he came from the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then, of course, who I guess I would affectionately call is Mr. Thunder is Russell Westbrook, right? He spent bulk of his career there, got his triple-double record there. You know, he did a lot. Before I give my number one player, Eddie, is there anyone that I may have left out or anyone that you had?
No, you had more players than I did on this one. The only guy that I would kind of pick as not necessarily an honorable mention only because he really didn't play 1 minute for this organization, but they drafted him and they traded him. They actually drafted Scottie Pippen with the fifth pick of the 1987 draft, and they traded him to the Chicago Bulls where, you know, he became this Hall of Fame player, right?
Yeah. Oops. Can we get it back? All right. So my player that I picked was Kevin Durant.
Oh. Okay. I was in between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and the only reason why I picked Russell Westbrook is because he played longer for that organization.
Yes.
Has all of the records for that organization. Actually became, you know, this Oscar Robertson like player out of nowhere, right? And we thought there's no way we're ever going to see this triple-double average for a career ever again. The closest guy that we saw was Magic Johnson. And then all of a sudden, boom, Russell Westbrook did it, right? And he did it for multiple seasons. So
he did. So when it comes for what he's done for the organization, yes, Russell Westbrook's done more. He was there more. But let me ask you this, Eddie. You're the Thunder. You're the GM for the Thunder.
Yep.
And you got a draft pick coming up. Who you drafting?
Yeah.
Durant or Westbrook?
I mean that's an easy choice if you're gonna go with
that's why I, you know, had Russell Westbrook won a championship after Durant left, or then maybe but to me, Kevin Durant's just the better player. You know, he did leave, he did break their hearts, you know, I know all that, but so did LeBron James when he left Cleveland. So I mean I guess for this one I'm gonna lean a little heavier that I think it should be Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I was in between both, man. And when you use that argument, if you were the GM now and knowing what their whole careers played out, who would you pick? yeah, you would pick Kevin Durant as he's going to, I mean, they're both going to be future Hall of Famers. Let's face it. They are both going to be huge future Hall of Famers. And, you know, Russell Westbrook is a fiery competitor. And you know what's interesting about Russell Westbrook? When he was at UCLA, he was more of a defensive player, man. He was not even really an offensive player to be considered. He was a shutdown defender. And then he became kind of this force offensively when he came into the NBA. So it's very interesting to see the evolution of his play, him as a player, because he became this offensive force. So, like I said, I'm not hard pressed.
I will say that, for this, Kevin Durant was, in his own way, a trailblazer, right? How many 7-footers, and I know he likes to say he's 6'11". He's not 6'11", but whatever. Yeah. how many 6'11 guys did what he did until he got into the league?
Nobody, really. I don't think anybody
changed the game for big men.
He changed the game for a guy of his size to be able to handle the ball, and I don't think we still have seen anybody quite like him at that size. Wembanyama is probably the guy that would rival that, but I would say Kevin Durant is a better ball handler at this point than Wembanyama.
And he's shorter, but Brandon Ingram is obviously,
similar. Kevin Durant clone
type of, I mean, he's nowhere near as good, but he is.
Real quick. So, all right, bro, I will go with you on this one, right?
All right.
I'll go.
I won one.
Let's settle on that one, bro. By the way, I want to just chime in. William went ahead and jumped in and said, I jumped on late. And yes, I believe there was collusion and talked about it on my podcast in regards to the Luka trade.
Yes.
I believe the NBA, once they found out, pushed hard to send him to the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't like the whole, hey, Eddie, I got a guy for you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Hey. He's really good. Just give me your guy. I'll give you my guy. All right.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Open it up. Yeah.
All right.
Let's go to the
Nuggets. All right. So let's go to the next one. So the Nuggets. All right.
You go down your list.
I'll go my list. I'm not a huge list, but I'm going to go ahead and start with Dan Issel. He's a well-known Hall of Fame player for the Nuggets. Kiki Vandeweghe.
I didn't get Kiki Vandeweghe. Good call.
Kiki Vandeweghe, man. He's from UCLA, man. Alex English. He's another guy. Those three guys, when they were together for the Denver Nuggets in the 90s, were like the late 80s and early 90s. They were like the highest scoring team in the league for most.
Dude, they averaged like 145 a game.
It was crazy, man. They were just like
number.
They were Run TMC on steroids, man. Dude, they were just Alex ridiculous. English was,
he's like Shea Gildas Alexander, just smooth, bro.
Yeah. Smooth. Yeah. So anyway, those are three I started with. Then I had Dikembe Mutombo. No. Fourth pick of the 1991 draft Hall of Famer, of course, and rest in peace. He just lost his life last year, 2025, right? So the other guy I picked was Carmelo Anthony, third pick of the 2003 draft, definitely a future Hall of Famer. Another guy I picked is Rudy Gobert, believe it or not. He's definitely a good
Gobert?
Nugget.
No, he never played for the Nuggets.
Sorry about that. He got traded to Utah, but he was picked by the Nuggets.
Okay.
I forgot to mention that. He got picked by the Nuggets and then got traded to Utah. He was the 27th pick. Great value at that pick. So the next guy that I picked is Jamal Murray. He was the seventh pick of the 2016 draft. Donovan Mitchell, 13th pick, but then he got traded to Utah.
All right. Yeah.
So, but the guy that we have to settle on, man, is Nikola Jokic. And you know what's crazy? This guy was the 41st pick of the 2014 draft. 41st pick. He's easily going to be considered the best second-round player we have ever seen.
Yep.
By far, right? Because you could argue before him,
Draymond
Green, Dennis Rodman, those two guys stand out. I would say, Ginobili? Ginobili was another one. Those three probably stand. I'm sure there's others that we're missing. But there was no one that in the second round that could easily call themselves a 3-time MVP, right? And potentially be a 4-time MVP this year, right?
Probably get it. If he doesn't get it, it's just because the voters are bored of him.
Right.
Get it.
But, dude, he's crazy good, man. So, anyway, all right, that's my list. Who do you got?
So, everyone you mentioned, and I'm going to go with you, Jokic as the guy. A couple of players that I wanted to add that you didn't mention. Did you mention David Thompson?
No.
Okay, David Thompson is one that I did want to mention. Another one, Fat Lever, if you remember Fat Lever.
I did, yep, that's right.
And then a guy that played for UMass that I liked him a lot was Marcus Camby. He played a good amount of
beer with Yeah, but those guys are not in the league.
So those are three guys that I just wanted to note. But, but I'm with you. Jokic, the Joker, is
the guy.
I mean, if I had to go a number two, I'd probably go Alex English or Jamal Murray. But to me, Jokic is by far and away the best player of that team.
Yeah, it would be Alex English, Carmelo Anthony, one of those two. There'd be an argument for one of those two. But because Carmelo is going to be a Hall of Famer. Alex English is a Hall of Famer. And Nikola Jokic is definitely going to be a Hall of Famer in spades, right? All right.
I think probably Jamal Murray might be as well.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, and I would say that he's probably dependent on winning another championship, in my opinion, because he doesn't have all the accolades. Yeah. So, all right, so let's go to the next team. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Yeah. This is the organization that started in 1989, man. So I started with the last one. You start with this one.
All right, so I'll go down my list here. So we have here Kevin Love. So Love was someone that I put on this list.
Yep.
A guy who was recently traded from the organization was Carl Anthony Towns. So I have him on the list. Obviously Ant-Man as well, Anthony Edwards. He's on this list. Some lesser known guys, at least not for you younger folks, for us older heads, Sam Cassell. I put Sam Cassell on this list. He had a pretty good career. Al Jefferson was another guy that I mentioned. A guy that the Warriors traded for that, in my opinion, never got the respect that he should have under our organization, who I thought was a really good player, who ended up...
I know what you're going to say, Danielle.
No, Tom Gugliotta.
Oh, that's another one.
Gugliotta, dude. Like, you know, we traded him to Washington after, and he had a pretty good career.
He did.
And if you remember, when he came to the Warriors, Latrell Sprewell froze him out. He wouldn't pass him the ball because he was mad because we traded Chris Webber for him.
Oh, right.
God, you know, and they were all upset, and they freaking froze him out. And he was a decent player.
He was a decent player, but he's not Chris Webber, man.
Of course, we were all hurt, but he was much better than they treated him. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I agree, man. I agree.
And then Andrew Wiggins, obviously, he spent the bulk of his career with Minnesota. And then obviously the guy that I think, at least for me, when I think of Timberwolves, I think of him, and that's Kevin Garnett.
Good, man. All right, man. So I'll give you my list. All right.
Okay.
I have quite a big list too. So Christian Laettner, he was the third pick of the 1992 draft.
All right.
Remember Isaiah Ryder?
Yes. From Oakland.
Fifth pick of the 1993 draft. I had him. Now the guy that you were describing with Tom Gugliotta, I thought you were gonna go ahead and mention Daniel Marshall. Daniel Marshall is another guy. UConn. He was the fourth
from
pick.
From UConn, yep.
Yeah, 1994 draft. Then we had Ray Allen, he was the fifth pick, but he was traded. So he didn't really play a minute for these guys. But he was picked by these guys and then traded to the Bucks. So I'm just bringing that up as, you know, just a tidbit of trivia. O.J. Mayo. Remember O.J. Mayo?
Yeah, from USC.
So he was the third pick of the 2008 draft. And he's one of two players with lifetime bans for the NBA along with Jontae Porter. O.J. Mayo, okay, because of, you know, substance abuse. So he's one of the only guys that one of two guys that have been banned lifetime, along with the newly banned Jontae Porter. So the other two guys that I'll pick, Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn.
Oh, God.
Because they were picked five and six right before Steph Curry at seven. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. Brutal. I am forever grateful that they did that.
They did that. I agree. We would not have had championships if they had taken Steph Curry like they should have.
We would not.
All right, man. So then I have Zach LaVine. He was the 13th pick of the 2014 draft. Again, we're talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then Carl Anthony Towns, you already mentioned, and Anthony Edwards, who's first overall in 2020. But the guy that I picked along with you, he was the fifth pick of the 1995 draft, and that is Kevin Garnett. He's the all-time Minnesota Timberwolves. So we have right now for the Thunder, we have Kevin Durant. For the Nuggets, we have Nikola Jokic. And then for the Timberwolves, we have Kevin Garnett. That's a pretty good team, man, so far, right?
Good team, yeah.
All right, let's go to the Utah Jazz. I'll start. My list is pretty small. And I think we're going to have a little dispute on this one, bro. All right, because I think I know who you're going to pick.
Okay.
The guy that I want to give honorable mention. Do you remember Dr. Duncanstein?
Charles Dawkins?
Nope. Daryl Griffith. Daryl Griffith was Dr. Dunkenstein. He was the second pick of the 1980 draft. Daryl Dawkins was Chocolate Thunder. That's what his nickname was. Okay, Dr. Dunkenstein was Daryl Griffith, 1980, back in the day. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Though. I remember the Dr. Dunkenstein poster.
Yeah, it's Daryl Griffith.
I thought it was Chocolate Thunder, Dr. Dunkenstein. I thought it was like Shaq, where he had 76 nicknames.
No. He's Shaq Diesel. But all right, so I'll go to the next guy. So the next guy, he actually didn't play a minute for these guys, but I just want to note that Dominique Wilkins was drafted by the Utah Jazz with the third pick, but he was traded to the Atlanta Hawks.
Hey, you know what, Eddie? Jot this down, bro. Yeah. I think on one of our shows, we need to go through every team in the league and pick their biggest miss.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
Biggest miss in the draft.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that as a topic here for sure.
Yeah.
That's going to take us some time, just like we're doing this right now. All right, next guy, Karl Malone, 13th pick of the 1985 draft.
The 13th
pick. The guy's like, number four scorer of all time now? Yep. The next guy I picked is John Stockton, 16th pick of the 1984 draft.
Yes.
Right? So he was the year before Karl Malone. Del Curry. Del Curry was drafted by the
Papa Curry.
He got dealt to the Hornets shortly thereafter. Remember point guard Deron Williams?
Yes.
Yeah, third pick of the 2005.
Deron Williams. I remember.
Deron Williams.
They were arguing that he was greater than Stockton for a while.
Hell no. Anyway, I know. All right, then the last guy on my list is Gordon Hayward. I just want to give him honorable mention because he was actually a good Utah Jazz before he got dealt to. I think he got dealt to the Celtics. Okay. He might have got dealt to somebody else before that. But anyway, so he was the ninth pick in the 2010 draft out of Butler. Anybody on that I missed that's on your list?
I got a couple of guys. One is Adrian Dantley. Adrian Dantley played for Utah. I thought he was a pretty good player. The other one, you know, that was sort of an icon, Pistol Pete Maravich. You know, he played for the Jazz when they were in New Orleans.
Yeah, David Skywalker Thompson.
Yes.
Right on, William.
Yes. Pistol Pete Maravich, right? So
That's right. I forgot about him.
Right.
I forgot about him.
Yep. Damn. Did you mention Rudy Gobert?
I did not.
So I had Rudy Gobert on this. My favorite person who ever got dunked on was AK-47, Andre Kirilenko. Andre Kirilenko. So
that,
I had
that
him on.
Nasty dunk by freaking Baron Davis.
By Baron Davis, yes. That's my favorite memory of AK. And I also had Jeff Hornacek because I thought he was a pretty good
call.
He was a good, pretty good player. And then you did mention Spider Mitchell, right?
I did not.
So I have Donovan Mitchell on my list. All right.
Okay.
So for the drum roll, you want me to give my number one or your number one?
I'll give you mine first.
Okay.
I was in between two players, and it's obvious who the two players are.
Yes.
All right. It was between John Stockton and Karl Malone.
Correct.
And I picked John Stockton.
I did too.
Sweet. I thought we were going to have to dispute that one, man, because,
I did too. Hey,
because Karl Malone wouldn't be Karl Malone without John Stockton.
I agree.
And John Stockton would be John Stockton without Karl Malone.
Yeah. So. And you know what the memory that I have of John Stockton was he was the first player that I acknowledged that said, you know what? He could have been a lot more selfish. He was a good shooter. He was good at playing offense, but he was more focused on making the team better. And he was like one of the first guys I ever saw. Like, you know, this dude, like he's really just there for the team. Yep. You know, he's a little bit of an a-hole, you know.
He was an a-hole, man. A lot of former players would call him out as one of the dirtiest players of all time.
Yeah. And they would.
That guy? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Apparently he was.
But I just thought that the way he played the game, he made Karl Malone Karl Malone.
He
absolutely made him. So that was – all right, cool.
Okay, cool. We agreed on that one. All right, man. So the last team on our list that's representing the Northwest Division of the Western Conference, and this is the Portland Trail Blazers. Dude, I have a long-ass list, man.
I got a long list, too. So why don't we do this? I give one, you give one.
All right, man, go for it. It'll be quicker. It'll be quicker if I rattle them off and then you rattle them off.
Okay, go ahead. Then rattle away.
All right, so – Bill Walton, first overall pick, 1974 draft.
Yes.
Michael Thompson, dad of Klay Thompson, first overall of 1978. Man, those two guys were on the same team. Fat Lever, you mentioned him for the Nuggets. Yeah, so Fat Lever, he was the 11th pick in 1982. You have Clyde Drexler, 14th pick out of 1983 draft. Dude, yes. You can't forget Sam Bowie, bro. You can't forget him. Second overall pick.
I can forget him.
He was second overall pick right in front of Jordan, bro. Right in front of Jordan, man. I mean, you know, Hakeem was the guy. I mean, he was highly touted as the number one pick, right? And you can't fault them picking Hakeem because he's an all-time best, right? But then Sam Bowie, oh my God, man, poor guy. That poor organization was just totally, completely, you know, cursed because they also picked another guy that, you know, Greg Oden, you know, and, you know, kind of just want to call him out too. All right. So
did they take Oden over Durant?
Yes. Yes. So, all right. So let's keep going. So I got Jerome Kersey. Remember we had Angel Johnson. That's where she went to school. She went to the same school as Jerome Kersey, Longwood. So he was the 46th pick in the 1984 draft. Then you had Terry Porter, who was the 24th pick of the 1985 draft. And Terry Porter is a very underrated point guard, man. I remember he was a problem. He's a stocky guy. He was kind of like what's his name? The guy, the Detroit Pistons, Chauncey Billups. He's kind of like the same kind of player, bit, right? Yeah, kind of stocky, good player. You know, the other guy that I wanted to go ahead and call out, interestingly enough, this guy got drafted by the Blazers with the 24th pick in the 1986 draft, Arvydas Sabonis. DeMontis Sabonis. Yes. And what's interesting is that he didn't play his first game until 9 years later when he was 30 years old. And when he was already beat up, his knees, remember, we always had these knee braces. But that dude was a freaking player, man. Remember that guy? I mean, that guy could pass like, unbelievable.
He's like, the head on that guy, bro.
Oh, my God. He was like Zaza Pachulia on steroids.
Bro, but it was like this wide, Eddie. Like, he was like two heads next to each other, side to side. But
big time, dude. Hell of a passer. Like his neck, man. He could barely move his head. He's like,
ugh. Hell yeah, dude. He couldn't move that nugget around to save his life.
Oh, bro. Big time, man. Big time. But I wanted to call him out because, you know, just imagine him if he had played back when they drafted him in 1986 because he was already hella good.
Yeah,
you know? He's a Hall of Fame player just when he started playing in the NBA at 30 years old because he was so freaking good, man. He was hell of a passer. He was like,
we had Vlade Divac who could pass, but really we had no big men passers. He was a supreme passer.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. All right, so then I got a few others before, and then I have rest his soul is Drazen Petrovic. We have brought him up a few times in the past.
Yes.
He was a 60th pick, man, in the second round in 1986, but then died in an automobile accident, I think 5 or 6 years in his career. Jermaine O'Neal, you brought him up in the past. He was a 17th pick in 1996. He's another guy that I had on the list for the Blazers. Again, we're picking the best player of the franchise of the Portland Trail Blazers. The other guy I picked is Zach Randolph. All right, Zach Randolph is a guy that I had on my list. And then the last two were Damian Lillard with the 6th pick of the 2012 draft and then C.J. McCollum of the 2013 draft. But the guy that I settled on, I'll go ahead and tell you after you give me your list. Did I miss anybody?
So you got a lot of my list, a couple of guys that I think you missed. LaMarcus Aldridge.
I did miss him.
You got him. And then Cliff Robinson. Really good player. You know, liked him. And the next two guys, I do want to call them up. So the first guy I'm going to mention was probably one of the most talented basketball players I've ever seen, but had one of the worst attitudes I've ever seen. But fantastic player. That's Rasheed Wallace. That dude was so good. He was good. So talented. But his attitude was he cried so much. He complained so much. If his mentals were right, dude, he could have been a top 10 player, in my opinion, of all time. But his mentals were off. And big the time. Other guy who I thought was on a trajectory to be one of the best players I've ever seen, but then his knee gave out on him and he had a shortened career, and that's Brandon Roy.
Oh, Brandon Roy, yes.
Yes. He played, I want to say, 6 or 7 spectacular years with the Trailblazers, and then he had like micro fractures or something in his knee and shin. And that was it. Pretty much he was never the same player again. But I thought those two players, supremely talented, just one had didn't have the mentals, and the other one, his leg broke down on him. So just wanted to mention those two as well. All right.
Oh, wait, you know what? There's one guy that we both forgot to mention, and I think he deserves to be mentioned because we brought him up in past podcasts as one of the most underrated players of all time, man.
I think the point guard.
Yes. Rod Strickland.
Yes.
We forgot to bring him up, man, as an honorable mention, right? Because he definitely was Kyrie Irving before Kyrie Irving. Right? Rod Strickland. He was the best finisher I had ever seen until Kyrie Irving came along.
I agree. Yep.
All right. So, okay. Who did you pick?
I picked Clyde Drexler.
Same here, man. Easy. All right, man. So here's our team. We got Kevin Durant from the Thunder. We have Nikola Jokic from the Nuggets. We have Timberwolves. We have Kevin Garnett. We have the Blazers, Clyde Drexler, and then the Jazz, John Stockton. Dude, this is a really good team, man.
This is a very good team.
This is going to rival the one that from last week, man. This is a pretty damn good team. All right, so.
And the beauty of this team, without us even trying to do so, they all the positions match. Stockton would be your one. Drexler would be your two. Durant would be your three. Garnett would be your four. And Jokic, obviously, your five.
Yep, we don't have to GM this team at all, man. We don't have to general manage this team at all. It's done, right? It's done. So, all right, man. So
can the Warriors sign these five guys?
Right. Let's go to the best one-on-one player among this group.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So
we're
gonna have to. I mean, right now, John Stockton, because of his size, and he's kind of more of a team player. He's not really a one-on-one player. I don't think he flourishes in that type of thing. I think he's out. But on a 3-on-3, I'd take him all day, right?
Yep.
But not on one-on-one. So John Stockton, I think, is eliminated. Who else would you eliminate out of the last four?
I think, and again, you can talk me out of it. I think he's a fantastic player, but one of his skill sets is his passing ability, you know, and I would take Jokic out of this pick.
Yeah, because he's not a one-on-one player. Like, if you
put him on a one-on-one, he's a little more methodical. He's slow. Part of his skill set is his ability to see the court and who to pass to. So I would take Jokic out of this mix.
I would too. It's a different skill set. He's not a one-on-one player, right? So,
correct.
All right, so you're down to Kevin Garnett, you're down to Kevin Durant, and you're down to Clyde Drexler. All right, so Kevin Garnett versus Clyde Drexler. Who do you pick?
I'm thinking. The screen's not frozen.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm going to stick with my same argument I had last week. And I think I'm going to shock it, but I'm going with Kevin Garnett because his mentals are just
like Jordan, like he won't back down.
I think, and he was a good enough shooter. He's pretty quick. He was good with the ball. He's a vicious kind of he attacks the rim viciously. So I would say I would vote with Kevin Garnett would beat Clyde Drexler.
You know what? I was very close on this one myself. Clyde Drexler, he was a good athletic guy, but dude, that dude couldn't dribble, man.
Do
you remember, like, he seemed to have to look at the ball to dribble, man. He's very right-hand dominant, and he just couldn't really dribble that well. If you take him left, I was always like, I always screamed at the TV anytime the Warriors played him, like, just freaking take him, make him go to his left, man.
Yeah, he was Clyde the guy, not Clyde the dribble.
But the dude could, like, jump out of the gym, right? And totally, man. But I was leaning a little bit to Drexler a little bit, but now that I'm thinking about it, I think Kevin Garnett would take him out. All right, I think he would just because he's that strong minded guy and he's a very good defensive guy and he could shoot. All right, he can shoot and he can do all the low post moves. Clyde Drexler would have a hard time stopping him. Kevin Garnett would be able to stop or contain Clyde Drexler at times, right? So I think that would be the edge, especially because we're doing loser outs. So, all right. So then it comes down to the battle of the Kevins, man. Kevin Garnett versus Kevin Durant.
You're asking me now, right?
I'm going to tell you who I think. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's Kevin Durant.
And I disagree.
What?
I disagree.
No.
Yeah.
No, dude. No way, dude.
How would I put this? Durant is probably one of the most skilled players in the NBA. But I think Garnett can shove him around. I think Garnett is long enough to maybe not block him, but definitely to D him up and make him alter things.
Dude, Garnett is a beast. Kevin Durant is a highly skilled Kevin Garnett. And Kevin Durant can play defense when he's engaged.
Correct,
right?
But without – I'm still going with that heart. Like, I think Kevin Garnett ain't going to – like, he's just going to be on him.
No, dude.
Fucking smack, pushing him around.
Yeah, I don't think so. I hear you, but Kevin Durant is easily considered the most skilled 7-footer we have seen to date. Right,
I agree. He's gonna
run circles around him. He's gonna take him up, and as soon as he collapses on him, he's gonna drive right by him and dip on him. And he can guard. He can guard up Kevin Garnett. He can guard him up, man. He can't. So that's why
I think Garnett shoves him out of the way, dude.
Oh, dude, no way, man, no way. Oh, dude, that's our first disagreement, like majorly.
I think Garnett. And you know what? I didn't really. When I started looking at this, I'm going,
dude, no way, man. I'm gonna keep fighting. Durant would take Garnett all day and all night, man. All day and all night. I am.
So you think it? You think it's not even close?
No.
Anyone listening?
Dude, there is no freaking way that Garnett can contain Durant in a loser's house 1-on-1. There is no way.
You think Durant can contain Garnett?
Yes. Yes. Yes, because
Garnett, let me ask you this: who's a better shot blocker?
Garnett.
Who's a more fierce defender?
Garnett.
Okay, so you don't think that those two things count for nothing?
Yeah, but if Kevin Durant was a no show on defense, I would give you that all day and all night. But Kevin Durant, ever since
he joined the Warriors,
he's a very good defensive player when he has to be. Now, when he's playing 1-on-1, he has to be.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The difference between Kevin Garnett's defensive capabilities versus Durant's, is that greater than the difference between their offensive skills?
Yes. Yes.
So you think Kevin Garnett is not doesn't compete with Durant at all on the offensive side?
Nope. Not even close. Not even close, bro. It's not even close. I'm surprised that you're actually taking it like this, man.
Dude, well, I'm looking at it this from a defensive. I mean, I agree with you. Kevin Durant is by far the superior offensive player. I'm in no way, shape, or form am I denying that.
Yes.
What I am saying is, I think Kevin Garnett would get in his head. I think he would shove him around. I think he would. I think he would get Durant off his game.
If
you told me it's Kevin Garnett versus Michael Jordan, for example, I tell you, there's no way Garnett's getting Jordan off his game. As a matter of fact, he's going to make Jordan worse because Jordan's going to get pissed and now he's going to freaking punish him. Right? I don't think it's the same effect with Durant.
The one credit I will give you is we know how sensitive Kevin Durant is.
Exactly.
And that's my point. And we know Kevin Garnett.
He's gonna talk about his mom, like, hey,
ball out, cupcake, let's go, cupcake, let's go. Exactly, right? Like that, right?
He's gonna say things to him where Garnett's gonna freaking get his feelings hurt, and I think that's gonna matter.
Durant would get his feelings hurt, but
yes, but
Durant, when he gets pissed, he turns it on, man. He turns it on. I'm surprised that you're disputing me that strongly on this one, man. No way, man. I wish somebody here would call this out on who's
listening. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Chime in, man. Who would win that 1-on-1? Because we have to decide on one player. So somebody who's listening, please say who they think. All right? We need you as the tiebreaker.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me get up my phone here. Give me 1 second.
All right, man. Do it, man. But this gives us some time for somebody. Whoever's listening, please go ahead and chime in. Kevin Garnett or Kevin Durant? Who would win that 1-on-1? Hypothetically, this is all hypothetically. It would be great if you have NBA 2K and plug in those two players and then just see what happens, right? But anyway, dude, I can't believe we're going to spend – and, dude, we're already at an hour and a half, dude. There's no way we're going to go ahead and finish up the last segment, even though it only takes 5 minutes. We're just going to finish it off after we freaking select this, and then we're going to summarize and wrap this thing up.
All right, I looked up. I asked AI. AI said likely Kevin Durant would win.
All right. Okay, so we'll have my first – my cousin.
My cousin just chimed in.
KD.
Yeah, all right, Kate. Look at family sticking with family. I see what's going on.
No, but he would call me out if I was wrong.
I'm busting your chops. All right, we'll go with Durant. We'll go with Durant.
Right on. Hey, Lewis, thanks for breaking the tiebreaker. I agree with you, man. All right, man, so that's it. Man. All
right.
So we are down. Okay, so we just finished our show here, man. We only covered two topics today. The last segment is something we cover every week. We can go ahead and skip a week, but it's essentially our fantasy rookie draft and how our teams are doing against each other. definitely are closing the gap, Tuan, because the one thing I wanted to point it out is that your boy Bouzelis,
yes,
he had a freaking game. He had a game, and then Reese Arshay had a game recently.
Yep.
Like, they scored like a lot of points, man. So they definitely have started bridging that gap.
Do I get any points for my Bouzelis being in the slam dunk contest?
Yeah, but I have Stephon Castle in there too.
We'll see. All right, I'll tell you what. the winner gets an extra 50 points on that one.
Oh, okay. You want to do that?
Yeah, we'll just,
I'm in.
Make it.
I'm in. All right, like, we'll do that.
If Stephon Castle, so whoever lasts longer or whoever wins the tournament, either way.
All right, man. All right, I got you, man. All right, so here we go. We just went ahead and just wrapped up the show here. We talked about the crazy trade deadline that's going on tomorrow at 12 p.m. We went over like the 12 trades that have happened, and there's probably going to be a few more that have happened. We talked a lot about the Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis trade. We also talked about the Jimmy Butler coming to the Warriors, how both Tuan and I just don't like that trade. We also talked about the Aaron Fox, Zach LaVine trades, and all the other ancillary players that were traded, that make up the most, the rest of the trade that happened. And then we went on our fifth week of our quest for determining the best divisional team of all time. We went ahead and covered the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. So we went ahead and covered the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Blazers, and the Jazz. And then we got down to Kevin Durant for the Thunder. For the Nuggets, it was Nikola Jokic. For the Timberwolves, we had Kevin Garnett. And for the Blazers, Clyde Drexler. And then for the Jazz, John Stockton. We agreed on every one of them except for that last one when we were trying to go for the one-on-one player. All right, so it was Kevin Durant versus Kevin Garnett. And we both picked. I picked Kevin Durant, and you picked Kevin Garnett. And we bantered on that for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And finally, my cousin, Lewis, broke the tiebreak. And he said, KD, and I agree with that. So KD is the best one-on-one player among this group. I'm surprised. I'm a bring that question to Hoop Heads tomorrow, man.
I still think, Eddie, it's a lot closer than you're giving it credit for.
I agree. It probably is. Yeah. All right. So, but anyway, this marks to the end of our 36th episode. This is Buzzer Beaters. We are a property of gremlingsmedia.com. You can find us on gremlingsmedia.com as well as any other podcast outlet that you can think of, YouTube, Spotify, Rumble, X, Facebook.
Before you finish,
yes.
Want some love. Our homie William says KG hands down. KD is way too soft. So just throwing that out there. I got one in my corner. So
who said that?
William
McGee. KD's way too soft.
William McGee.
Oh man, come on. KG hands down. Oh, he's too late now. We already made the decision,
that's
man.
All right, man.
So anyway,
at least you making me sound like I'm crazy. I'm like over here fighting you like anything.
I know. I hear you, man. All right, man. Well, hey. Anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral. And we're also known as the Cisco Kids. Tune in every week. We're here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We'd like to hear from you. We're live because we want to hear from you, just like we heard from a lot of the people that are listening in today. So thanks for your participation today. Anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters, and we're going to go ahead and sign off.